And my wife and I, we took $17. We spread out about 675 pennies in the middle. And we asked, guess how many is there? You can have those. And in each student who came, we gave them a couple dollars each to invest in the kingdom. Now, they could take that money and buy gum with it. I'm not here to put conditions on the giving. Somebody say amen. So we took $17 out of our own pocket. Now, I'm not saying this for great things on our end. But we sowed into our young people. And if you don't think God can bring back, here's a true fact that happened. This weekend, where's my notes? 5,882% came back to us in one day. We gave $17 to the young people and $1,000 came back to us to go into the building fund today. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many of you can't outgive God? How many of you be faithful in your tithes and offerings? God will locate you. Yeah. Amen. How many would make that investment to see the return? It all went back into the kingdom. All we were was a recipient. Hallelujah. How many of you invest in a generation, God will bless that. Yeah. Amen. Well, I told these students, I go, look, you bless the kingdom of God. You can do what you want with it, but I told the parents, I go, watch how they spend this, amen? Then I shared with them, I go, what can you do at home that will blow mom and dad away? One student says, you know what, if I do the dishes, my mom will be so happy. How many of us will then do this? Say, mom, you're not doing the dishes, I am. How many of those moms going to be like, what's wrong with you? What are you after? How many of us, that's a reality? I ask another student, what would it be like if I clean the bathroom? Then you clean the bathroom and don't ask anything for it. Are you with me so far? How many of us that we need to teach a generation? It just doesn't come by the natural. Train up a child in the way he should go. Hallelujah. How many believe that we can get this building paid for? How many can believe for $10,000? Amen. I'm at the place now where I need to contact who has the building and say, we need to get a title company together. Because that takes some time. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 20, are you there? When you get to verse 14, it says this, I saw death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. That means all demonic power. Everyone who doesn't know the Lord will be there. Notice this word here. They're cast in the lake of fire. The best description is this. It's a pool full of fire. Hell in its place right now will be taken forth. The bars, the imprisonment, one day will be brought forth. Too many people think of death as an ending. In Scripture, that doesn't mean you cease to exist. That means there's no longer life with you. How many knows without God there's no life? Death and hell will be delivered up. Everyone in there, and they'll be cast in the lake of fire, which is called the second death. You died once, but now this is the death separation from God. You're still alive, but it's a place of death and not life. How many of those where Jesus is, there's life? When you get to heaven, how many go, this is life? For the first time ever, you'll have so much peace and joy. That's life. Hell will be a place of death. It will be a place that people are bound into because the life is no longer there. The second death. When I look at this area here, how many here have ever burned your hand before? How many of us it hurts? Yes or no? How many ever had that sizzle for a moment and all of a sudden, ah. How many ever had touched an area that's been burned? It's sensitive for a while. Can you imagine your whole body engulfed in that? But never consumed with it. When I think of those things, I cringe sometimes. My imagination allows me to go there. But I can't share with you how awful it will be. Just how glorious heaven will be, the opposite will be in hell. I shared this with the first service and I raised a few eyebrows. If you reject Jesus as Savior, what's the difference between you and Satan himself in a place of hell? How many knows you're in the same place? That's how serious. It was never made for man. God's done everything to keep man out of it. But what you've done is you've taken the blood of Christ, stuck it under your feet, and trampled it. Like it's no big thing. You've rejected every hope you could ever have. You're just as guilty as the enemy. Now, how many knows for Satan, hell will be unbelievably awful, no doubt about it. Probably the worst there could be. But man in sin has went to the same place. Amen. Now, well, it's been a little while ago. A couple of years ago, a young person asked me, Pastor Tom, will you come with me? I got to go to traffic court. I got to go downtown. I'm hoping I don't get any more points. I said, what day is it? If I can come, I'll go with you. It happened to work out. I'm with them, all right? So we traveled down to the court down there. We got in there. And this particular one was probably maybe this big from here back. Back there, there was bleachers set up. You could sit multi-layer. And then Your Honor came in. How many knows when he came in, everybody stood? Why? Because Your Honor came. The one who honors the court. You honor the court. How many knows that one day Jesus will be on the throne? How many knows when you see him, whether you're saved or not, you will know that he is Lord. Now, my buddy was totally guilty of his crime. He was speeding. He was caught. Some of you I shared, he went up there. We went through several cases. He was finally called up. He says, son, tell me your case. What's going on? How's your driving record, by the way? And he said the word decent. Okay? He said decent. And that kind of made the judge laugh. And he kind of picked on it. He goes, if I ask you what your grades were, would you tell me decent? If you were going to go out with my daughter and ask you what kind of guy you are, would you say you're a decent man? And he probably had 15 of them in a row. And the whole courtroom was cracking up. And I was the loudest. It was so funny. He went on, decent? How's the weather today? You're going to tell me it's decent outside? And he went on and on and on. And then he finally said, you know what? Plead the case. He goes, Your Honor, I am guilty. I deserve this, but I'm asking for some leniency. He looked at him. He looked down at his paper. And I could tell that he was amused. Courtroom was still chuckling here and there. He said, pay the fine, no points. Slipped on out. How many of us that was a good thing? Yes or no? It was like what he deserved, he didn't get. He didn't set out to make the judge happy. Are you with me? But I could tell by the tenure of the court that, hey, he was asking for some leniency. He wasn't trying to lie his way out of it. How many of those, when people come to Jesus, say, Lord, I'm guilty. I have sinned. Forgive me. God will answer that. See, this judgment here will be people like, no, you're going to pay for your own sins. You have rejected the only hope. My son has paid the price already, but you said no to it. And now you must pay the price for your sins. Are you hearing me? The next case, as we were kind of filtering out, waiting for him to get up the paperwork, I'm sitting there for a few moments. The next case brought up. This couple brought up, and I could tell by the way they were sharing, they were totally guilty. They had three or four witnesses against them saying, no, we saw them do this. They did this. And the judge looked down at these folks. He has to make a decision based on the evidence he has. And he said, well, what do you have to say for yourself? We didn't do it. That was somebody else. And the judge looked at him, and it's almost like he was looking to say, if you just take ownership for what you're doing, things would change. I sensed that in my heart. He wanted to be lenient towards this couple. But they refuse to admit anything done wrong. And the judge says, do you have anything more to say for yourself? Nope, we're totally innocent. Slams the gavel down. Guilty. Pay the fine, pay the court cost, and jail time. How many of it was serious business right there? My buddy just walked out, or really a young person, but he just walked out free from points, and now this person's going to suffer jail time. How many of it was at the white throne judgment? There'll be a lot of lies that have been spoken. Here's the truth. Amen? How many of us, it's good to come before the judge and say, Lord, I have sinned. How many want to fall on the mercy of the court? How many of us, God will do right by every man? Now picture this. When you think of God in judgment, sometimes it's really hard or harsh. But God will do right by every man, woman, and child. What they deserve, they will get. Amen? Now, hell is hell no matter what level it is. But I really feel when it says in Scripture, some will have many lashes. Some will have many pains. Hitler will be one to have to pay for 6+ million people you murdered. God will say, these people here are in eternity because of you. How many of us, that's serious stuff. The ultimate hell, which is hell no matter what, will be Satan. But can you imagine a place that's been so designed for Satan and his evil horde that now mankind is now going there? When I think of it, it's so awful because man was never designed for such a place. We were designed for life. We were designed for fellowship with God. And now people be separate. Well, how many people are going there? Jesus said this. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go. And narrow is the way that leads to life, and very few find it. Now, I don't know what a billion people look like. I don't know what a billion people look like. I don't know if you'd have to have an aerial view to see that. I don't know. I don't know if you'd have to be on a mountain looking down to see what a billion. How about 2 billion? How about 10 billion? I don't know how many people have been born from Adam until now or the end of the age. But we already have, what, 7 billion people on this planet? True? I don't know how many people have been born and will have died that will stand before Him. But when I look at what God has, He has one book that all the names will be recorded. I don't know how big this book is. I don't know if there's an easel in heaven. Will it be really huge or not? But He's going to do this. He's going to look for their name. I said He's going to look for their name. He's going to look to see if they're in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a single book. How many are glad your name's written in the book? When you accept Jesus as your Savior, your name's written in the book. I mean, that's a good thing. I shared last week when you've been invited to a wedding, why you RSVP is so they know you're coming. True? It's respect to the bride or bridegroom's mom or dad. Ultimately, it's for those that are getting married. Well, you know what? I have my RSVP in heaven. There's a seat at the table with my name on it. And you know what about God? No one's going to sit in your seat. No one's going to sit in your seat. Hallelujah. How many think this? What about you're standing before God and the throne is high and elevated and you'll see the one on there? You'll see the one who paid the price for your sins up there. It won't be a mystery there. Every knee will bow and confess your Lord. There'll be such revelation knowledge of the Son. You will see Jesus as He is. Then realize that now there's no more falling on the mercy of the court. This is sentence time. The white throne judgment is sentence time. The books will be open. How many of their voice changed? Yeah. See, I'm still getting younger. Though outwardly I'm getting older, inwardly I'm being renewed day by day. Glory to God. Picture now it's sentencing time. In serious criminal offenses, what they do is you're remanded in jail. Sometimes you can get out on a bond. But you still got to report back to court on your sentencing date. I mean, understand that. This here, those that are in hell right now, is not the final end. That's their prison cell in torment, waiting for the day of judgment. And death and hell will be brought forth and stand before the king. And now that'll be thrown into the lake of fire. It will be the most worst, awful time in God's life that's forever recorded. God does not take great joy in saying, depart from me, I never knew you. That doesn't bring the Lord great joy. He's done everything to keep you out of it. But here, what if one stood up like this? They're worthy of death. They're worthy of destruction. And Jesus steps up in the courtroom and His Father said, there has to be a great payment. They deserve death and separation. I'll pay the price with my life. I'll give up my life so they can walk free. Every single person that faces God will realize that's the reality. He paid the price, and you decided to pay for it yourself. Depart from me, I never knew you. That's how serious it is by rejecting God. When it comes to death, it says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. That's true. We'll have eternal life, and death and hell will be thrown in the lake of fire, which is the second death. They're still alive, but death is done away with. The last enemy to be destroyed. You won't have to worry about death in heaven. Not a bit. Not one day. And I think about this. What are we going to do forever? God's got that all taken care of. If just seeing Him every single day of our life would have bring a new fresh revelation to our life, it'll take us forever to get a glimpse of how awesome He really is. So just being in God's presence will bring fresh revelation. Every day will be new. Amen? And what we're going to do is we're going to serve Him. Whatever that entails in forever, we're going to serve the Lord. And how many think that He knows everything? He spins this earth on nothing. And if you really want to know, when you go through the book of Job, it talked about Pleiades. It talked about Orion. Those are star constellations that they didn't have by telescopes that God revealed. He even says, do you even consider the treasures of the snow? They didn't understand. You have to see through a microscope what snowflakes look like. That not ones that I like, but they're perfect in shape. God brought revelation about galaxies to them. How many knows that man's without excuse? But how will you stand before Him? What if He says, I bring you forth, plead your case, and all of a sudden the books were open, and another book was open, and everything was opened. How many knows, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, I believe God knows every name in the book, but what if you saw the book? How many are thinking, I hope my name's in there. If you have to hope at that moment, it's too late. Somebody say amen. No, it's in there. That's written for people that are going to life, not death. Come on. When I look at this punishment, it's severe. Now, the other day I helped my brother. He had to put some like shock absorbers on his car. And the car was kind of older, so like the bolts that held it wouldn't come out. The rubber that's around it, adhered to it, couldn't get them off. Well, I had this little torch thing, cut stuff, and I had it up in the air, and I began to cut on it. And it's kind of like melts off. It's rusty, and it kind of pops when it hits the floor. Well, when one of those little hot things go down your back, it doesn't stop there. It goes all the way down. And it's like, ooh, are you with me? It's like it hurts until it stops burning. Would you agree? Hell will be a place where it says this. Oh, this is so serious. In Psalm 11, verse 6, upon the wicked shall rain snares, fire and brimstone. A horrible tempest shall be the portion of their cup. When I think of those things, fire, you've burned your hand, you've burned your arm, it hurts, it's serious. Now you'll be engulfed in it, and it rains upon you and never stops as you're in the pool of fire. Oh, I think of that, how gruesome that is. No wonder it's called the second death. No wonder it's such an awful place. There's no life there at all. It's future punishment. It'll be for the people who rejected the only hope. Amen? Come on. Jesus said this in Matthew 25, verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Notice, eternal life. Heaven's called life. How long will hell last? I got an answer for you. In Revelation 14, verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. There shall be no rest, day or night, that worship the beast, his image, or receive the mark of his name. It's eternal. The smoke of their torment does never stop. Hell isn't for 100 years, 1,000 years, or 1,000,000 years. It's forever. For ever paying for your own sins when you could have had His. Amen? See, for us, we're judged in Christ. And when He judges you, you're no longer judged. Hear me. Even if somebody on this planet judges you, they judge wrongly. That's why you shouldn't worry so much about what other people think about you. Their judgment is wrong. You may have a right figure or a right fact, but your judgment is wrong. You don't have the power nor the character to carry that judgment. Are you hearing me? When I look at the judge, I could really sense when that second couple, that couple came in, he was looking for a way to bring some mercy. I really felt that. I really felt that he wanted to do the best he could for these two. But when they blatantly lied and they denied all wrongdoing, boom! How many knows that's what it's like in hell? I blatantly denied Jesus as Lord. You can say all you want about it, but if your life never matches up, you're still denying Him. He can't deny Himself. Some people say, well, I believe in the Lord. Well, the demons do too. Just because you believe doesn't make you right with Him. He has to be your Savior. Now, what if you came into court and He said, I'll pay His price. Your Honor, I'll give my life for that individual. And that individual looks and said, you know what? Nah, I'll take the punishment myself. Isn't that what it's like to reject Jesus? What you're saying is that you don't have to do it, Lord. Then, you know what? You will have it. You rejected the only hope of salvation. We need to seek God and pray for people to have their eyes opened. This is reality. How many people, as this message has been going off, have went into eternity, even now across this planet? Now, I don't have the death rate across this planet, but I guarantee you hell's just enlarged, just like heaven is. Is this good? I want to read this to you. In Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. If the first categories didn't match up, then all liars. Everyone in here has lied at least once. Would you agree? Yes or no? I mean, if you continue that, you can be a perpetual liar. I've met several people like that. I've met people who lie so much they believe their own lies and live in it. When it's like, dude, you need to snap out of that. Amen? How many of us that Jesus is the truth? No wonder Jesus looked at those ladies that were weeping at Him as He's going to the cross. And I could see, He said, don't weep for me. Weep for your children and your children's children. You're rejecting the only hope. You reject me, you will die in your sins. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you'll seek me, but you won't find me. And they said, well, where's He going to go? Where's He going to go that we won't find Him? You'll be separate from Him. When the white throne judgment is there, it's not a place where mercy and grace will abound. It already has abound. It's now you're going to pay for your sins. It's the punishment of the wicked. How many think that's pretty awful? Yes or no? When I look today, more than ever, your enemies now, believe me, won't be enemies when you get to heaven. The Lord, work on their heart. If they don't like you, okay, pray for them. And do this also. If you know of politicians that don't know the Lord, spend time seeking God for them. Amen? Because sometimes we can complain, and I understand the complaint, but that complaint doesn't change the situation. Speak over them in prayer. Call them forth. Amen? Call them forth. Lord, touch them. I'd like to see Nancy Pelosi get her heart right with Jesus. Can God still do that? That's what Jesus said. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That's where you reap coals over their head. They get their life right. We need to do that as a church. We give the enemy ammunition when we bring forth the hate instead of the righteousness. Now, righteousness stands its ground, don't get me wrong, but we don't have to be militant in being righteous. Amen? Jesus said, if they smack you in the face, okay, turn the other cheek. You're standing for what is right. Oh, I'm preaching now. Amen? I wonder how many more people would turn to the Lord if believers acted like believers. Isaiah 59 verse 18 says this, according to their deeds, according to this, he will fully repay, full of his adversities, to recompense upon his enemies. I mean, that's full payment. On the white throne judgment, full payment will be there. And his enemies, and Jesus has enemies. The Bible says that they're enemies of the cross. Jesus has enemies. Upon my enemies, full recompense of reward. To get saved is an unbelievable miracle. I thank God upon the billions of people on this planet that he reached me. I am so thankful. So thankful that he reached me. And here's the part that's good for us. That you were smart enough to say yes to him. I'll give that too. And when you said yes to him, it's a miracle to be saved. It's a miracle to be a Christian. Come on. In Hebrews 10 verse 29 says this, how much sorer punishment suppose it will be for those who thought worthy of themselves, who have trampled the Christ under their foot and counted the blood of the covenant worthless, or an unholy thing to do despite to the Spirit of grace. God won't take it lightly. You despise the Lord, you trample that blood, and you look at the grace of God as no thing at all. You treat it as an unholy thing. That's going to bring some sore punishment. It will. Hell will be hell no matter what, but those who know to be righteous and don't do it, it's serious punishment. That's why Jesus said this boldly in church. Woe unto you scribes and you Pharisees. You talk about the law, but you disallow all this. A greater damnation shall be your portion. Because you know to do good and you don't do it. Then you also hinder those that are coming into the kingdom. That's serious business. Listen, I've learned this. A couple things. Don't mess with people's food and don't jack with people's salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't make bald jokes or fat jokes, because one you lose and one you gain, leave them both alone. Hallelujah. Wow, that's good wisdom, Pastor. Amen. I'll close with here. Look at Revelation 20. Look at verse 15. And whomsoever's name was not found, somebody say written. God keeps pretty good penmanship. Hallelujah. Can you imagine this? Every person who gets saved, he records their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I bet it's the happiest moment in heaven. My mother said this before she passed on. She had a glimpse of the party revelation when somebody got saved. It was like this. And another person just got saved and heaven erupted. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you were there and you heard somebody got saved, would you be happy knowing that all this is for them? My mom got a glimpse of that before she passed on, that it was a constant celebration before the throne. Hallelujah. I can see that too. Amen. If we all go the way of all flesh and there's still another generation, we too. Oh, awesome. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. They got saved. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I think it's awesome. I love when God steps up. Amen? Jesus is looking to bring your families there. But if you're not found, notice he's going to search. It's like the record of life. He will search for you. It's like the last straw in the person's life. I have the only book of life. And I'm looking for your name to be in it. And it's not. You're not in the registry. You made no preparation to be here. And now your glorified existence is separate from him. Now back to my little thing burning my it's like, ow, are you with me? And I thought to myself, what if that rained upon you every day and never ceased? Oh, man. No, I don't want that. You don't want that for your worst enemy. That's why don't look at people as enemies. Look at them as opportunities to get their life right. Yes, they're wrong. Yes, they may mistreat you. But hell is such a final place. It's the consequence of sin. It's the proper fulfillment of death. It's where God designed it for Satan and his hordes. One day, you're going to be there. And they know it. They know they'll be reserved in that darkness and chains forever. And yet, he goes after mankind, and mankind follows the same route. Not trusting the Lord, turning from areas, and living in sin. It's such an awful place, and yet now you'll have a glorified body to live there in that existence. Awful. Amen? Awful. Well, what about when we get to heaven, and maybe my loved one didn't make it? You'll know it. But you're not going to grieve over it to the place it'll hurt you. All tears will be wiped away. Because you'll have such a revelation that the only reason they're there is because they rejected Him. Everyone will be brought down to that place. Listen to me. If they're not there, it still doesn't mean heaven won't be perfect or complete for you. It will be. Because it's about Him. He's the reason. Our inheritance is Jesus. The rest is a blessing. Amen? I have some family members that when I was younger, I got saved as a young boy. And I had some relatives, some aunts and uncles that were much older. And so I only saw them when we got together here and there. And I remember asking my mom when I was young, did they know the Lord when they died? And I could see my mom sometimes go, well, you know, I don't really know. We talked about the Lord, but I never saw much. Some of my relatives, I don't know if they made it. When I get there, I want to be pleasantly surprised and go, cool, you made it. Amen? But we shouldn't have a life like that. We should know where we're headed. Amen? We should have the testimony. No, heaven's my home, and Jesus, He paid the price for my sins. There's been an exchange. Amen? I'm walking out of the courtroom free, but I'm not becoming just free in myself. I'm going to become a bondservant to Him. Too many people walk away from the Lord being set for their... No, I want to be a bondservant for my Christ, whatever He wants. Hallelujah. There's a big difference in being set free and doing your own thing and being set free and serving the King. Amen? Is your name in the book? You can know for sure. Hallelujah. You can know for sure. It's one thing that you can know. Well, what about eternal life? Next week, I'm going to conclude this series. And I'm not doing it from the hell side, the burning, the fire. I'm doing it, how do you make sure you know you're right with the King? That'll be my whole premise. How do you make sure you're right with the King? Every time I bring this up, Lord, forgive me if I've sinned. I know I'm saved, but Lord, forgive me. Amen? Cleanse me. It's like a fresh revelation of holiness sets in. Fresh revelation there, like the fear of the Lord sets in. Because my name's in the book, hallelujah, and I'm thankful for it. And I want others, because no matter how many names are in there, the book has room to receive it. Glory to God. He wants heaven full, and I want to be there. So let's be about our Father's business. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Speak all manner of evil against you. Pray for them. Lord, touch them, amen. Somebody may know this. Maybe back in your secular days, you listened to some artist. I'm not talking about something demonic, but man, maybe they'll pray for them. It would be nice to see some people that could sing, be in heaven too. Amen? Sometimes they trust in their riches more than the King. But God, touch them. Open up their eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want to make sure your name's in the book? Amen. Pray this with me as we close. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins. Lord Jesus, I accept what you've done on the cross, that you paid the price for my sin. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that I'm free in you. Holy Spirit, come live in me and change me according to your word. I boldly confess that Jesus is my Lord. Write my name in your book. I'm going to live for you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.